There's a that's it's a hard thing to teach. Some people might get it in 3 hours, and some might get it in 200 hours, and each person has a variation on it. And what if something bad happens? Well, now the airline's response to the question, oh, why did the person screw up? Well, the person that we hired was doing their own thing. They're applying their own knowledge of stick and rudder. So, well, that's like, oh, okay, well, you hired that person, so here come all the lawyers and lawsuits, right? So I think there's that, the lack of stick and rudder skills.
And maybe this to the listener's question about why taking so long, in some cases, maybe a CFI is reticent to release them. But there are cases, I imagine, where a person doesn't, you shouldn't get out of the airplane. You're more than just a passenger. How do you make that value judgment? And what do you think's going on there? Is it something where you say, hey, maybe I need to put another CFI in here?
Right.
How do you decide if a person isn't progressing enough?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question. And I think that gets into CFI ethics. And back to the ownership of the goal. Is the student the problem? Are you the problem? Or what's the problem? And what ultimately, maybe at some point you have to pass this, get a second opinion, just like a doctor, right? If the doctor is telling you, oh, you got to get you cut your arm off, you're like, oh, I only had a sore throat. It's like, oh, well, maybe you want to get a second opinion. There's that. So sometimes you have to fire yourself,
I agree.
if you have true ownership of the student's goals, and you truly want to see them succeed. That's in the best interest of the students.
Makes
So,
sense.
yeah, absolutely. So there's a so that was a really great question. There's a lot of thought process going into that. And thank you to our listener. Learned while talking that his name is Alex, just like me. And that was a great question, wasn't it?
I think it was great, especially since you were able to answer it with such proficiency.
Well, I want to know if I wouldn't say that's proficiency, but I think that was a great question. And thank you. And we love questions on this show. But anyway, we have another question.
Right, let's take a shot at it.
All right. Do you have an ATP license?
I
And
do not.
this is a question between, this isn't the question.
Oh.
But would you like to get an ATP license?
Yeah, eventually I would. Yeah, I'll
Yeah.
leave it as a yes and let you ask me if there's a follow-on to that.
All right. The question is it expensive to get your ATP?
I believe, now we're going to get into that value proposition that you and I always talk about. Expensive, is it costly or is So I'll let you answer as an ATP since I'm not an ATP.
Yeah. Well, hold on real quick. We have a caller calling in right now. Hello? This is kind of interesting. So we have some we've got some learning, I guess with live call-ins. But anyway, it's a live show, and the caller is Al Carino. Well, let's see if we can and we'll get back to the ATP question here real quick. Al, are you there?
We don't hear you. It's obviously user error.
Al, are you there? All right. Well, awesome. Thank you. Thanks, Al. We appreciate you listening, and this is pretty awesome that you're part of that you're calling in. Yeah, right. So Al, to get rid of that, you turn your radio off, and then just then talk to us. Yeah. So Al is talking about flying myths. So what are flying myths? So so flying myths are, the Santa Claus fly on Christmas Eve. Is that a flying myth?
Just hit the pause button.
Hit the pot, close out of the radio station. Yeah. All right. Right. Absolutely, you can. Right, absolutely. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Absolutely. Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's a great piece of advice. It's like a bucket list thing. Get it done. Right, absolutely. So for listeners, Al Carino's on the line, and he's one of my students, and we kind of had this revelation. We did a long cross country for your instrument rating to go visit some of your customers, and that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Yeah, right. Absolutely. Oh, it was a great time. Then we stopped in Memphis for dinner. It was awesome.
It also speaks to, how do you look at the airplane if you do use it for business? So many people think of an airplane as an expense, but, is it an expense? Is it a resource? Is it an asset or is it competitive advantage? And if you think of it as competitive advantage, not only is it fun, and I happen to know that you had a lot of fun on that business trip, but you can use it to beat the competition, to make more loyal, more happy customers if used in the right way. And plus, we like to rationalize that anyway to say, yeah, that's what it does. But it truly can be a competitive advantage for you.
Right.
I think he just plugged his company. Cool. That I really enjoyed that, and you seem to just have a really good time with that. And there's a good picture of you that we took. It's probably one of my favorite cross country pictures of you loading your stuff in the plane, which you couldn't actually you, seriously you couldn't you can't log that or bring the stuff that you were bringing on airliners. So here you are, you had it in just a little.
a handful of stuff that you just threw in the back of your airplane, and we went out and did our thing. It was awesome.
It was. So, again, yeah, there are disadvantages that aviation has taken a hit over the last couple of years with the Delta. But, for little guys like us,
yeah, awesome. Well, so if one person likes it, then awesome. I hope everybody likes it. So far, we've gotten some good questions, and you're our first caller tonight, and it's a riot. All right. Thanks.
Thanks, Al.
See ya. All right. Oh, that was a nice little Al Carino call-in, huh?
Yeah. Nice to have the family participate in the family discussion.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly what it is. Yeah. It's there's so many different aspects to this, and that was awesome.
So going back to the question, what is where are we going with that? I'm dying to know.
Yeah, so the question is it expensive to get your ATP? Well, it depends. If you're a private, if you have zero flying hours, then yeah, you know. And if you do have the question, I guess that the answer is yes. If you're qualified to get an ATP, you have to it's still expensive. You know, $2,500 to go out and get your license, and that's a quick program that you can go and take. And there's different levels of ATP. You can get your multi-engine ATP or your single-engine ATP. You can get your single-engine seaplane ATP. All these different things. It's kind of a depending on how you look at it, depends on what stage of flying you're in.
Right. But this is where I, again, relate it back to maybe a little bit more to the sales thing, whether it's appropriate or not. But when people ask me about expensive, that speaks to dollars and cents. And I like to look at things as value propositions and return on investment. And I wrote a blog a few years back called How Much Is That Doggy in the Window?
Right.
Which is maybe a song that young people don't know, but
right.
And I'm not going to sing it for you. Thank you very much.
Please.
No.
Please.
But it talks about when in business, people say, if I make this investment, how many ever dollars it is.
We want to hear you sing.
No, you don't. Believe me, you don't. If I make an investment, whether it's $1 or $1 million, am I going to get more than that return?
Right.
ROI.
Right.
We don't do that with general aviation. It's, it's going to cost me $100 hamburger. It's going to cost me $10,000 for this, $15,000. What is the value in return? And it doesn't necessarily have to be in dollars and cents. I go on to say in that blog, that the smile it puts on my face
right.
is worth every penny that I spend. And quite honestly, I don't even calculate because I don't want to know how much I'm spending.
Right.
But I know the cost of not flying, not getting that smile, to me is more.
Right.
So it's just not a dollar and cents question. I think it's very much a value proposition that puts some level of value to happiness, to achievement. You know, listen what the caller we just had. Yeah, he got some business out of it. But I happen to know, too, that, it brightened his day. I think he built additional self-confidence. Not that he needs any more self-confidence. Just kidding, Al. But no, there's all kinds of benefits to flying beyond the dollars and cents. Of it.
Oh,
it's a long way of saying that.
Absolutely. There's a it's kind of a the dollars and cents of it. There's so many different ways you can go out and you can get flight time. You can go out and get it right now, and it's going to cost you a lot of money. Or you can. Instead of working harder, you can work smarter. You can be creative with gaining that flight time to be able to qualify to get that. And it builds that self-confidence. It builds that the non-dollar and cents types of things. It adds stories to a logbook. And ultimately, there's so many different paths. So to answer that question, is it expensive? I would put a yes for a lot of things. Yes for a monetary aspect of it. There's yes for a time commitment. It's going to take some time to get
but
there.
But what do they get out of it? That's right. What we don't know. I don't know if we're able to, for that person that wrote that question in,
right,
if we can answer that.
Right.
How important is it to them, and what other things does it lead them to,
right,
that might be of higher value?
Right. So they expanded on their question, and
okay,
this is excellent. They talked about, they want to, how much does it cost to get your ATP if you want to fly for the airlines? And, is it expensive? Well, is it expensive? A lot of people, we all fly because we love it, right? Do you want to be stuck in a 9-to-5 job when your heart's at being an airline pilot?
So actually, let's get right to the listener's question, though. And how many hours, again, I'm going to defer to you, do you need for an ATP if at minimum?
Right.
So we can start to put some dollars and cents for the listener.
Well, there's many facets of the regulation, but the big flight time number that you want to look for is 1,500 hours. You have to have 1,500 hours plus additional other criteria that you have to meet. But 1,500 hours of flight time will get you start to qualify for an ATP. So if you were to go out and rent an airplane for 1,500 hours, that's a lot of flight time.
Yeah, it is.
Right. So if you're going to try to go out and do that, odds are you're not going to pay for every hour of that, but you're going to be able to start earning a living, right? So start doing the thing that you want. So you could be a flight instructor. If you take ownership of students' goals, you can go out and do it. If you can go out and tow banners, fly traffic watch, do aerial photography, whatever it is, you can start. There's many different ways to start achieving that. And it's kind of like grad school, right?
Mm-hmm.
As you go out and get your if you go out and get your bachelor degree, so I went to the University of Illinois, you have to go out and pay a big chunk of money for that. So you got to pay for I call that the private pilot's license. Well, you can go out and then, let's say you go out and get your master's, you can get a scholarship, right? And then help pay for that. It's easier to get scholarships getting your master's degree. And you get higher, it's each level of education that you get higher. It's when you get your doctorate, you're basically having somebody else pay you.
I'm out on a website while you're talking. Not that I don't enjoy listening to you, but I went to a national school that advertises they'll get you an ATP certificate, and here they say ATP certificate 2 days, $2,395. Well, I'm assuming that means you've already got your 1,500 hours and have met all the requirements. Here's an airline career pilot program for a commercial pilot license, and it's $50,000 for 90 days.
Right.
So there's programs out there. I don't know that they can guarantee it, but they list the ATP as a $2,400 2-day event. But again, I'm sure it assumes that you have all the requirements, and they're just going to take you through the check ride type thing.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You can. There's a part in the regulation that says it's not a flight time requirement to getting your ATP. Do you know what it is?
Proficiency.
No. It's an intrinsic characteristic of the applicant.
Oh really?
Yeah. So it's the end all, it's the catch all, I guess. An ATP applicant has to be of good moral character. That's actually in the regulations.
Oh, at least we know now you can buy that for $2,400.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. That'd be kind of an interesting. I guess I wonder how you qualify that. Does the examiner, as you show up and you pay your fee to take your check ride and have an oral exam and then take your flight ride and all that. And the person said, well, you failed. Or, well, I guess it's not a failure item because you wouldn't be doing your oral and check ride and all that. But if I guess it's a review of all the books and everything,
mm-hmm.
it would be stopped before everything started, I guess. But that'd be kind of weird. I wonder if there are people that actually didn't get an
Yeah, it'd be an
ATP.
interesting question if we have any designated pilot examiners out there that could comment on have they've ever kind of used that moral question to fail somebody.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's not even a failure because you can't even begin the examining process without meeting the regulations.
Well, unless they felt like they demonstrated something at the very end that said, "Ooh, that was immoral, unethical, whatever."
Right. Exactly.
That's funny.
Right, absolutely. That's a riot, but I would be kind of curious. So, anyway, if you have any ideas of what you think what poor moral character, if you're walking into your ATP check ride, would be. We'd love to hear from you. 312-436-0356 is our Skype call-in phone line. And feel free to find us on Twitter. Make sure you ask your questions, hashtag them with #SimpleFlight, one word. And you can find me on Facebook, L Waterloo, and you can post your questions for Mark and I on the show or about the show on Facebook. So it's kind of neat. Do you have a Facebook account?
Inactive, like we've been talking, there's pilots out there. Yeah, I have a Facebook. It's let's just say I don't use it a lot.
It's kind of quiet.
It's quiet, and I actually, yeah, kind of like that.
Yeah, you're one of those guys.
Yeah, but you know what? I've learned so much from you on the flying, and maybe I'll learn a little bit more about social media from you as well.
Right, exactly. Well, bringing up the social media thing, there's I'm going to bring up a social media aspect of aviation that I think was kind of a backbone of Oshkosh and will be a backbone of future of aviation. And it is this social media stuff. I was at Oshkosh and I started meeting new people. I have Twitter friends. I don't even know who these people are, but I'm their friend on Twitter and we talk to each other. And I say, hey, I'm at Oshkosh. And they say, oh, I'm at Oshkosh too. And you start mingling and, oh, look, this person has a booth. Oh, this person is doing a podcast. Oh, this person is at the Cirrus booth. It's kind of neat. So there's this under, while you're walking around, there are so many different tweets and Facebook posts. We got another caller here. Let's see what we have to say. Hello. It is. How you doing? Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
I recognize this person's voice. Are you asking Al or are you asking me?
Yeah. So
Well,
we need to give him a ride.
okay, we have to go to St. Louis to do
That's fine.
it.
That's a good aviation town.
It is a good aviation town. They got that Spirit of thing over there.
Yeah, the Spirit of, they got the Boeing, McDonald's, that's where they build F-18s.
I know. I have an interesting story. I used to, when I mentioned I lived in St. Louis, and I would go over to the airport and take pictures of the Ozark F-27s and the DC-9s. I did it from the McDonnell Douglas parking lot.
Yeah.
Because it was right parallel to a runway there. And then one day I got a security car come up. They took my camera, and any pictures I took of McDonnell Douglas things, they basically did not develop. They were not going to return anything to me, but I begged for them to develop the film. But they thought I was like a spy or something. It was funny.
Were you inspired?
You never
Yeah.
heard that? Yeah, I was living in St. Louis at the time.
Yeah.
So we'll bring Al happens to fly a King Air, a beautiful corporate airplane. Maybe we can go down to St. Louis.
Yeah.
Take this guy, whoever he is, for a ride.
Yeah, right. Well,
They all are, yeah. But again, I don't add it up.
yeah. Yeah, it is a riot.
Yeah, it is. And for even whether it's back seat, front seat, left seat, right seat, you know how much I love it. And I think, again, we share that across the entire pilot community.
So why did you think it was a ball? Wow.
I remember it very well. I don't even know if it was near 4th of July, but yeah, all of a sudden there was fireworks in front of me, and it was the last thing I expected to see in front of me. It's kind of like being up in the clouds, yeah, and saying, what's that mountain goat doing up here?
It's like World War II with flak and getting shot down. Exactly. But hey, that's part of the risk that you got to do. Yeah, that's fun.
Yeah. Anyway, I just wanted to do my
All right.
Thanks, Steve.
Well, hey, thank you very much. That was awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks. All right. That was great. We got another call. Perfect. So there was a, well, that's pretty neat. You know, that's a, I always ask, when bringing people out on a plane ride for the first time that aren't pilots, I always ask if they've gone up in a small plane before, and you'd be surprised. It's a 50-50 mix.
Oh, I'm not surprised, because I've had the same experience, and that people think airliners flying, and many of them are very scared, not knowing what's going to happen as we start the flight, but by the time we end the flight, especially if it was smooth and no turbulence, it's, oh my goodness, this is really, really cool.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah.
It is. Well, when you do start getting turbulence, oh man, people get a little white knuckled, but it's part of the fun. You get to experience the waves a little bit more than in the big airplanes.
Yeah, you know, one of the things that, you know, I guess going back to the original topic about the distractions and the other things that conflict with people learning to fly is alternatives, right? Options.
Right.
And I saw something on the news last night. They have this thing called flyboarding, and you go out to Lake Michigan, and it looks like an Iron Man suit. And basically it shoots jets of water down, and you fly above the water. You hover, and you can dive in the water and all.
Right.
But it was like, I think he said $75 for a half an hour, $175. So actually it seemed a little bit more expensive than flying.
Right.
And you wonder, I was thinking, you know what? I bet people are going to do that.
Yeah.
Do that even though that half an hour is going to cost more than it would have to rent an airplane.
Right, absolutely.
And so what I always ask myself, what drives them to there instead of here being the airplane?
Right.
Yeah, and I don't know that anyone has the answer, but I think that's important to solve the problems that we've been, or the challenges. We're not going to call them problems. The opportunities.
Yeah, it is an opportunity. Yeah. It's not a problem. It's not. Aviation is great, and it's not a. Aviation is not broken. It's a. There's a disconnect right now with the mentality, and how do we shift that? How do we bring new ideas to the table that are fresh and make it fun?
And that's what I say is going to come from the pilot community, not from the, generally speaking, the leadership we see. I had a conversation actually about 2 or 3 days ago with a gentleman that's into cars. He buys lots of Thunderbirds. It's his favorite car, and he collects them. And he was saying, today's kids don't, you know, they want to buy a $13,000, you know, Soul or Ion, whatever all these cars are called. And he said, when we were kids, you know, we used to want to own the Mustang or the GTO and all that. And I think that is really saying some of the same things that the aviation community. It is a different world. And we all have to change if we're going to. You got a funny grin on your face.
What?
I thought you were going to say something. All of a sudden, you got a funny grin on your face.
Yeah.
But we, you know, each industry has its challenges, and it's going to take new thinking because there are new challenges out there.
Right, absolutely. It's kind of like did you watch the Super Bowl?
Most of them, but I don't know if you mean just the last one.
Yeah, the last one.
Some of it.
There was a commercial that all of a sudden started this controversy, and it was actually a really cool commercial. Super Bowls are known for their commercials, right?
That's the reason why I watch it if the Bears aren't in it.
Right. It's kind of interesting because there's this commercial that was really, really, really neat, and it had Clint Eastwood in it. Let me see if I can pull it up here, and play it for us, because it was kind of inspiring. It was kind of pressing. Let's see here. Let's see if we can tune it in. One sec. So, but it was goes along the same line of thinking of that things are maybe kind of depressed. You know, there's a great town. I think this whole commercial goes back to a reference of Detroit.
Oh, right.
So
yeah,
let's parallel the situation. Let's listen in. Deep.
That was deep. I wasn't expecting that on a Sunday night.
Yeah. Well, hey, that was kind of full of what we look out. You know, let's relate it back to that, right? There's a lot of opportunity. You know, I think that commercial showed that there's a lot of opportunity in America, Detroit, and all that. And not that this is going to go into a political rant or certainly this is a American promotion, which it definitely is, aviation in America. But you know, maybe aviation is in its halftime at the moment. You know, there's a lot of looking forward and changing rather than taking what's broken, finding the opportunity in it, and which could be us. It's not aviation. It could be us, the people.
Yeah, and that's why I said earlier at the start of the show that I think some of our wounds are self-inflicted, right?
Right.
And that's up to us to come up with the answers. And the community at large is the one that's going to do that. It's been kind of a theme throughout tonight's show that it doesn't matter how we got here, we're here.
Right.
Right. And we also know that just working harder isn't going to fix things in any industry. It's again, out there to recruit is the wrong word, but to find the people that are interested in saving this industry. And I talked today, I had three kids under 6 years old,
right,
running around in our hangar with their hands out like wings, wanting to be a pilot. and having a conversation with the father that we've got a tremendous shortage of pilots coming, and we need kids like his kid's age and even older to follow their passion, because that passion still exists. I know it does.
Absolutely.
We're just not, people aren't focused on it, but it's there.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. I think that's definitely it. And it's, that exists within so many different aspects of aviation. You know, when you show up to the airport to go check into your flight to Florida, you're going to go visit Disneyland. It's kind of a gross fit. Nobody enjoys going to the airport anymore to go travel, to get in an economy seat and fly and try to be sold credit cards and flight and pay for a bottle of water on an airplane. You know, this whole thing needs to go through kind of a revolution, you know, down to pilots and training and getting them excited and doing that. And
yeah, well, and last flight I was on, I was felt like, gosh, I had less issues at a proctology exam than what they put me through there. But
right. Yeah, seriously. I mean, it's kind of getting ridiculous, you know, and
and that goes back to the risk thing, right? We talk about the pre-flight and general aviation. You can never eliminate all the risk, whether it's of the terrorist thing that we see on the airlines or in general aviation, to make sure that this next flight is going to be 100% safe.
Right.
And so decisions have to be made. And I think many people are willing to give up some of the hassle and maybe increase the risk only slightly, even though ultimately the risk is not against you.
Right.
Right. If the odds are
right,
just like driving or whatever, you're going to go to work and or whatever, go do your thing and come back. But that doesn't always happen, whether it's airplanes, cars, or whatever.
Right, exactly. Oh, that's kind of that's a really good point.
I do that every now and then.
Keep it up. Do it more often. So I think this is a pretty cool platform to kind of launch the theme of our show. Right, so there's these issues that exist. They're not problems, you know. They're not problems. They're just disconnects. I believe.
Right, I agree.
And you know, the show is about finding amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Actually, you know, real quick about that, I had the pleasure, as I mentioned on Thursday, of taking a 7-hour trip. I headed out toward Cleveland Way, Canton, Akron, and a couple stops on the way and a couple stops back. And at Canton Akron, I had the pleasure of talking to an avionics mechanic and owner of an avionics repair shop. And you had to talk about amazing people, just like so many people around that are maybe not flying, but so connected to aviation. And you can see in this gentleman, and I think his name was Kevin. I'll make sure I get it. But
right.
You know, he had a passion for serving his customer, the pilot, and making sure the business was done, you know, and was done right, and he loved his job. We got in there late and talked to an employee of his and say, hey, here are our problems with the avionics of this new airplane we bought.
Right.
And basically told, that can't happen today. There's not enough time.
Right.
You know, he was going to go home in an hour. And so Kevin came out and basically moved his employee aside and spent the next couple hours in our airplane fixing things, giving us a replacement to a broken piece of avionics. And, you know, then said, hey, whenever you can come back, we'll put the right one in, but I'm loaning you this for however long. And he just spent the day there. And then to just connect with him on his love of what he does and how he's been doing it for 30 years was pretty cool. And
right.
I thought of you, amazing
yeah.
people doing amazing things in aviation.
Right. And that's why this brings us back to the point, my point of thinking that, you know, okay, in aviation, you know, this revolution or this thing, this movement that needs to happen, it's not going to come from an organization because they have too much to lose. You know, you and I could stand up and, ultimately, yeah, we got a lot of things to lose, but in the spectrum of the universe, it's nothing. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. we can, you know, with one collective voice, you know, an organization that stands for something, and all of a sudden you know, they got to be very censored in kind of what they say and what they do, you know what I mean? So I think that there are tons of people out there, you know, doing incredible things in aviation, and the show is dedicated in finding them, you know, and not necessarily, you know, a pilot that's doing something to go out and, you know, a pilot flying an airplane to do great things. That's absolute, you know, that's absolutely part of this. But, you know, what about going to O'Hare Airport? You know, the person that designed the architect, or, you know, the terminal, the architect that designed the terminal, the vision, the creativity that goes in there to try to build excitement for you to be happy to be there. You know, that's all part of aviation. You know,
it's about the experience, right? The aviation experience.
And to be fun. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. You've got something percolating over there. Let's hear what's going on over there.
No, I was just looking. Not that I wasn't paying total attention to you. I was just kind of perusing some aviation humor here, and I don't know if I should share any of this.
Is it inappropriate?
No, some of it is, but some of it isn't.
Well, let's hear. You got another joke?
Well, here, just when they talk about the ATC, air traffic control transmissions. There's so many funny ones out there. You wonder if they really happen, but here's one. A student became lost during a solo cross-country flight while attempting to locate the aircraft on radar. Air traffic control asked him, what was the last known position? And the student said, when I was number one for takeoff. So.
Yeah, right.
Where's my little sound effects now?
Well, that didn't spark enough.
Okay.
Yeah, that was corny when you look at it.
Delta 351, you have traffic at 10 o'clock, 6 miles. Give us another hint. We have digital watches. And maybe not deserving either.
I guess crickets.
Okay. Crickets. Hey, let's see you, Tab. What do you got for me? Yeah,
well, I don't know.
I'll put you on the spot.
Okay, fine. Why did the cactus cross the road?
Oh my God, this one sounds like it's going to be lame. Al, why did the cactus cross the road?
Because it was stuck to the chicken. Yeah.
What's that got to do with aviation?
Absolutely nothing.
Okay, at least we can agree on that.
Yeah, good. All right, that was awesome. So that was that was awesome. But there's some funny things out on YouTube that exist out there. Some funny aviation things. I don't know. There's one of my favorite things is of going on to, you know, finding tidbits of air traffic controllers in New York, listening to the ground controller about to lose, you know, who's about to lose it. You know, have total operational loss of control of all the planes on the ground because somebody took a wrong turn. It's kind of funny. If you search JFK, it's kind of neat to
oh, yeah, I've heard some of those. And there are so many ATC, and I love ATC. As a matter of fact, I know one of our listeners is in air traffic control, but they combined with the pilot communications. We don't need to even go to a website. We get involved in that all the time, right? They are so wonderful to work with, and a lot of funny things come out.
Right, you know? Absolutely. You know what's really neat is that person that we're talking about he has his own effort of making his stamp in aviation. Amazing person doing an aviation thing, amazing things in aviation, yeah. And part of it is, you know, when bad things happen, you know, where does the blame finger go to? And it's kind of neat that he's trying to advocate that, hey, it's not just one person. It's not the pilot in command. Let's put him up on a pedestal and shoot bullets into him. You know, everybody takes a little piece of the ownership, and rather than, you know, let's punish him, let's turn it into a positive thing and learn from it.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. And there's a lot of people like that. So it's all good.
Yeah. We're out there. We're going to go find them.
So I got to ask you, amazing person doing amazing things. You know, here you are, such a young man, all these hours, people comment, when I grow up, I want to be Al Waterloo. What's next for you?
I have no clue. I do kind of have an idea, but And here's my strategy at the moment. I've learned that in aviation, you want, aviation uses you. So you have to use aviation back, right? So,
Right.
and who knows what that entitles, but I kind of learned that as an airline pilot in the crash pad in Washington, D.C. I was flying with, or I was bunking with some pilots that, they'd been kind of chewed up and spat out and chewed up and spat out, and the aviation industry took in massive pay cuts, and the future of their family was in limbo of financial security and quality of life and things like that. And I really realized that aviation uses you, so you have to use it back. Just as much as it uses you, you can use aviation for you, right? So if you work hard on something, put yourself on a path, and work hard, and the real opportunity will hopefully present itself once when you get down that path. Or is and you'll probably never end up in the destination that you think that you're going to, and you'll the real opportunity will be an intersection along that path, and say, hey, it'll be crystal clear to say, hey, you know what, you need to come down this path, and it'll take you down a whole nother road. So I don't, that's kind of my what's next for me is to continue to work hard and I don't know, find, just discover and create your own opportunity. That's the neat thing. There's so many of them out there right now in aviation, so why not? Well, there are no rules.
Right, and certainly those that and who doesn't know all of the things that Steve Jobs did and said throughout his life and his career, and one of the things that always impacted me, he always said, the goal is not to be the richest man in the cemetery,
Right.
right? How forward-looking was that for him, and ultimately meeting an early demise, but. Follow your passion. You see that from the Warren Buffetts and the Bill Gates and all that. And again, I don't know of a more passionate group than general aviation pilots, enthusiasts, and all that. And even doing what we're doing tonight and what we'll do every Sunday from this point forward is
Right.
part of living that dream for me,
Right.
right? And somehow we all have to channel that passion, because we aren't alone. Everyone that you and I come in contact with, and those that we don't that love general aviation, have that exact same spark. And
Right.
again, those challenges which we face today, I think they go away once we leverage that passion and that commitment
Right.
to fixing the challenges we face, or just facing up to them, because I certainly think we can do that.
Right, I say leverage them for creation.
There you go.
Leverage them for creativity to create and solutions for it. So I think it's pretty exciting. It's like the real estate market, And when I bought my place, it was the cheapest. It was the cheapest place in my town, and all of a sudden, I'm taking a massive dive on it. It's worth half of what I paid for it. But and this isn't a thing of a finance lesson or anything, but it's like, hey, you know what? There's it's like, when something's depressed or it's got this negative thinking towards it, there lies a lot of opportunity, like in real estate. If the market's depressed right now, you can buy a great deal, and ultimately it's going to pay off, in the long run at some point.
Well, and maybe a little bit of a leap here, but the things that we do in aviation, even though times are economic times may be saying maybe I shouldn't spend the dollars or whatever, and I find myself saying, gosh, I'm going, 50 miles up the road again just to fly. Is there new things for me to do that will provide incremental value? And going up with you and share with the listeners, I always think of in Chicago, nothing more beautiful than flying to the lake shore and back, and nothing more cool than that. And then you take me up, what was it, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we head west. Okay, where are you
Right.
taking me? Okay, turn left at Meacham out
Right.
in Schaumburg. Oh, okay. Now we get to the Eisenhower Expressway. This is all at 1,700 feet. And you say, okay, turn left and follow the expressway.
Right.
I said, I don't think we can do this.
Yeah.
And you said, yes, we can.
Absolutely.
We called midway along the way as we went into their space. And then we get downtown and not continue to the lakeshore, but just kind of turn just before you hit all those big buildings.
Right.
And fly there. And it was like, oh, my God, here is something that I have never done before, even though I love in this live in this wonderful city. And I say I'm a pilot that likes to fly in there. I didn't know you could do all that.
Right. Absolutely.
And the thought of how much money I was spending and all that just totally went out the window because I was having the time of my life. And I can't wait for our caller from St. Louis to come up to Chicago. And anyone else I fly with, I'm going to do that same route and share an amazing view of the city, of the suburbs, you know, just up close and personal that most of the population never, ever gets to see.
Right. You know what? I've got a great picture of you in the cockpit. We're heading downtown. We're going east. We're taking the unconventional, the path less taken.
Yes.
Downtown. We're taking the Eisenhower Expressway, which avoided all costs because it's horrible in rush hour, but yes, it's a little piece of airspace. If you know what you're doing, you don't even have to talk to any air traffic control. If you're flying in between two, the busiest airport in the world and one of the busiest airports in the world, O'Hare and Midway, and it's your airspace. Use it. You know, I'm sure I'm not paying Cook County taxes for you to not use that airspace. So use it.
Yeah, no, it was wonderful, and those
awesome.
Are the kinds of things too that I think bring people in to ignite that spark that we need to get the word out. It's not just, okay, I got my license, now what? I think I'll fly the road up to some bad airport restaurant and get a hamburger and say, yeah, I'm a pilot. It's these kinds of things. And taking a golf trip, taking a spouse or a partner to St. Louis to go shopping or to go to lunch for a day. And those are the things that we don't talk about as possible destinations or
right.
Uses of the private pilot license. And I think there's a lot of people that would think that's not only really cool, but something that would add value to their life.
Right. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, I'm taking, here's one cool thing of sharing our aviation experience, a new way of thinking, use the social media thing stuff. So I got a picture of you and I flying that flight, taking that path less, you know, the path less taken downtown along Eisenhower. And so I want to share it with our listeners. I just posted on Twitter.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. You can find that picture on Twitter. Look up hashtag simple flight and you'll see Mark and I flying downtown. It's a great shot. It was a great evening. I posted a similar picture on Facebook and enjoy it. You know, here's a great example of what you said. So let's go back to Thursday, right? Where you flew to 7 hours and you didn't pay a dime, right?
Right.
So our listeners can enjoy aviation, not pay a dime for it. Search this picture on Twitter, hashtag simple flight, and enjoy it with us.
Yeah, well, it's a great thing, and I need to learn from you on all the social media stuff. But I have to compliment you also. And here's again where Al, I think, understands the extra effort needed from the instructor side. After we took that flight, a couple days later, I get in the U.S. mail a picture postcard. And it's of that flight, maybe the same picture everyone's looking at now. And it just said, thanks for flying with me. And the secret, or not the secret, but the story behind that is I asked Al to fly with me. I hadn't been flying in a long time. And I could tell that it was the end of a long day for him and probably wanted to go home. But he said, yeah, I'll go with you. And yet I get a postcard from him to me saying, thank you for flying with me, with a picture postcard of a beautiful shot of the city as we flew by it.
Yeah.
So I think that's what makes you different. And there's others like you out there. We need to get all of those involved, and we're going to address some of these challenges.
Yeah, right. I think it's a riot. I'm looking forward to it. And I think the show is going to be, it's only going to get better because we're going to take it and get those amazing people on aviation. We're going to find them and we're going to show them And you know, they'll hopefully want to spread their message, and they got a great story to be told.
Yeah, no, tonight was great. It's step one. I know you did a couple shows prior to this on your own, but the first one I've been involved in, I think of it as the line up and wait.
Yeah, right. Right.
Portion of the flight. So we're on the numbers, and actually we started rolling down. The airspeed indicator came off the peg. All
right.
Everything's in the green. We're ready to rotate and take this as far as the listenership wants us to go.
Right. Yeah. You were in the terminal waiting for the final boarding call before we pushed back from the gate.
Yeah. Again, I was going through that little proctology exam with the TSA.
Yeah. Right. Mark Eppner, this is your final and immediate boarding call.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. No, I appreciate the call.
But no, this is good. So we got bright horizons and tailwinds ahead.
Yes, yeah, very good. I should even check what time here. 9:59, so we're right there, timed out perfectly.
Yeah, right,
and,
absolutely.
Actually, you should probably, I don't know if you have the outer limits closed. You had the outer limits opening.
Oh,
listeners should know, he didn't even know what the outer limits was. Now I really feel old, so.
Yeah, right.
But good, well, on average, we're about 44 years old.
Well, let's put it this way. I bring the average age down.
Yeah, that you do. No argument for me. But I bring the maturity level down.
No argument there. Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. Well, we're looking forward to next week, and it's going to be awesome. We have be sure to check us out on Twitter. And view our website, simpleflight.net. We're going to post some pretty neat updates. Mark has some neat blog ideas coming up that you can follow. We're always posting new pictures. Check our pictures out on Twitter, hashtag SimpleFlight, and certainly everything else on athanolive.com. There's a quick little plug about athanolive.com. So here's another amazing person doing amazing things in aviation.
And you should probably spell athanolive.
Because... Right. So it's spelled like Ethan Olive, but it said athanolive.com, and it's ethanolive.com, and this is a great thing. A member of the Flying Club who is career aspirations. Co-started this radio station. Is glad he's a part of our flying club.
Yeah, yeah, and the great aspirations. Can we say what his aspirations are?
I think we can make a phone call and have him on the show and get him into all that, and it'll be it's awesome.
Yeah,
you can look him up though. He's got his own show on Tuesday nights. On athanolive.com. It's heated. It's like it's Bill O'Reilly esque, and it's a lot of fun to listen to. Very fun. So check that out on Tuesday. But we'll definitely be back on next Sunday.
8 p.m. Central.
8 p.m. Central, and we just need to pick another navigational fix to broadcast live from.
It'll be fun to do.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. So many. Cool. All right. Well, thanks for listening, and everybody have a great week, and we'll talk to you next week.
Tailwinds.
Tailwinds.
Simple Flight. From ultralights to the edge of space, the Wright brothers flew in 1903, and aviation is still finding new ways to advance. Aviation is fun. It's business. And it's full of opportunity. Join Al Waterloo as he talks with amazing people doing amazing things in aviation.
Mm-hmm.